الحمد لله وكفى وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We left off yesterday when Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was mentioning the 10 benefits that comes from hunger. And the first one in particular was that when a person is hungry, they gain more purification in the heart and there's a sharpening of their perception or their intuition. In comparison to satiation, when a person is full, it causes the person's senses to become dull and the heart to become blinded, you could say. And this is the case, the ulama mentioned, that when an individual indulges himself in hunger instead of food, allows himself to remain hungry, then that person becomes humble. And hunger, but in essence, the reason why it causes humility is because a person now is faced with their incapacity, with their inability. When a person is hungry, it becomes clear what their abilities are and what their inabilities are. And in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're constantly reminded of our inability because the fact that our stomach is constantly asking for food. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and this narrated in Ibn Majah, that that individual who sleeps in a full stomach, that person's heart will become hardened. I find this interesting because what is a very common practice within our culture today? Midnight snacks. Person gets up, they go to the fridge, they eat. So they go to sleep, instead of going to sleep hungry, they go to sleep full. Now, a person might mention that it's not a big deal, but consider the fact that when a person goes to sleep hungry, they wake up. So waking up actually becomes a means by which hunger is a means by which they wake up. Whereas when a person is not hungry, when they're filled, they sleep. And so we see that the ability to remain hungry allows a person to wake up, which allows a person to involve himself or herself in worship and practice. Will further himself in closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wake up at night for tahajjud, they wake up in the morning for fajr. Now, in the same, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that the Prophet also added that everything has a nourishment, and the body also has a nourishment. And the nourishment of the body is what? It's hunger. So it's the opposite. We think we want to be nourished, we have to fill ourselves. Actually, the body's nourishment is hunger. Because remember, the body is a composition of the soul and the jism, the soul and the physical self. You bring those two together, that's what a human being is. So if a human being wants to fully grant himself or herself strength and nourishment, they have to know there's a balance. The balance between what the heavens provide because the soul is heavenly and what the soul and what the body needs because the body is earthly. And hunger is an element that brings both of those together. How does hunger bring them together? Hunger, one, causes the body and the nafs by as a result, the nafs to constrict and to contract upon itself, and the soul begins to expand. There's a great scholar whose name is Abu Bakr al-Shibli, rahmatullahi alayh. He was a great scholar of tazkiyah, and I believe he was a Hanbali scholar as well. He said that never did he experience hunger for one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that wisdom or something was opened up to him. Now, this is actually something that we look at in hadith. The Prophet ﷺ in various ahadith, he mentions wahtisaban, seeking some benefit. So not that we're just hungry because we're hungry, but we're fasting and we're allowing hunger to enter into our lives for something greater, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So now we're seeking a return, we're seeking a reward. That's wahtisaban. And so what happens when a person is looking for reward and looking for benefit, Allah Ta'ala provides them benefit through those acts. In particular, hunger, he witnessed from his own self that a certain level of wisdom, a certain level of opening, a ma'rifah would occur through hunger. Now, Luqman radiallahu anhu alayhi salam, there's a difference of opinion if he was a prophet or not. The most common opinion is that he's not a prophet. He gave many advices to his son. And he told his son a piece of advice which I had mentioned earlier, that, oh my son, if the stomach is full, then as a result, wisdom in a person's contemplation and thinking, it goes to sleep. And then a person's body, their faculties cease worshipping. So we should recognize that when a person is more in need, they're constantly going to turn to the one who can fulfill their need, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should allow ourselves to remain hungry. There's a great scholar in the past, Tayfur bin Isa alayhi salam, who's also known as Abu Yazid al-Bistami, who's also known as Bayezid, because the Yemenis used to, instead of saying Abu, they used to drop the so become Bu or Ba. So Bayezid is actually Abu Yazid. He mentioned that hunger, he gave the similitude, an example that hunger is like a cloud that hovers above. And when a person is hungry and that cloud is there, and the cloud eventually breaks and begins to pour down upon the servant, what does it pour down upon the servant? The rain that comes upon the heart of the servant that's hungry is what? Wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why we make a strong push to remain hungry, and we have a strong push to keep ourselves nourished to the extent that we need to be nourished, and away from food for the benefit that comes therein. There's a hadith in the book of Daylami, rahmatullahi alayh, that is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And in this book, it's verified that this is a hadith. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioning a clear hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mentions that the nur of hikmah, the light of wisdom, is what? It's jur, it's hunger. And just like wisdom, hunger has a nur and has a light, has an effect, so does satiation, so does becoming filled. So what does becoming filled cause? When a person fills himself or herself, also there's an effect. And the effect is what? A distance between that servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between that servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gained through loving those who are poor and keeping company with them, and by not filling ourselves up with food. And the one who sleeps with less food, then he is accompanied until he's woken up from his sleep. So there's the hadith mentions that who accompanies this person? The women of paradise accompany this person. So the idea is what? That there is a benefit. When a person remains hungry, they draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're able to attain wisdom, and they're able to benefit from that hunger. Now, along with purification of the heart and sharpness of the senses, there comes a second benefit. And the second benefit is that individual is able to gain softness, the riqqa of the qalb. The riqqa, the softness of the heart, is gained as well. Now, the softness of the heart is important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَ. That then their hearts became pure thereafter, and it became like rocks, كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَ, or it became even more, it became harder than rocks. Now the heart is a place that if we cultivate and we plant, something will grow from it. And if it's hardened, then you can't plant something on hard ground. No one goes to a bed of concrete and begins to put seeds on top of that concrete, hoping that if they pour water with that seed on the concrete, it'll grow into something. Nothing grows from there. Rather, what happens is you have to break the concrete, you have to remove the concrete, you have to cultivate the ground underneath, you have to begin to put the proper soil therein, and then something can grow. So the heart has to become tender, it has to become soft. When the heart becomes soft, then the impact of fikr and dhikr can take place. Fikr, contemplation and thought, deep thought, and dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can take place. Unfortunately, many people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their tongue, but because the hardness of the heart, it does not penetrate. Allah ta'ala mentions, لَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعْ هَوَاهُ. Not to follow those individuals whose hearts have become ghafil of Allah. The tongue could still remember Allah ta'ala, but the heart is ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus an individual should be very careful to try to soften the heart, so the dhikr now begins to have an impact on the heart. Now, how does the softness of the heart occur? One of the means by which is that the heart remains, that the stomach remains empty, and the emptiness of the stomach causes the individual's heart, the individual's heart to begin to soften. Abu Sulaiman al-Dairani, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that the best form of worship is on an empty stomach. The best form of worship is on an empty stomach. Imam Junaid, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that one should leave between himself, between the stomach and the chest, a space free of food in order to discover the beauty and the happiness that comes from worship. So we should, and then there's other quotes that I mentioned as well. So we should recognize that this ma'rifah will come when a person begins to allow himself to have hunger and thirst. Now people say, brother, that's not true. Actually, try it. Try it. Don't break the fast with so many goodies, right? Don't, outside the days of fasting, don't always fill the food. Try it and see the benefit. And this is one thing our ummah has fallen short on. We're no longer willing to try. I remember I was speaking to one brother upon, and this is not the debate over here, about eating halal, meaning meat that's slaughtered by the hands of Muslims, and not from factories that could potentially have a machine slaughtered, or their non-Muslim hands, or we don't know what type of non-Muslims, it could be fire worshippers, etc. I told the person, just try it. Try for a month. And alhamdulillah, that person did try, and he said that definitely he felt the closest to Allah ta'ala. Because of course, When the body is nourished by halal, then it's going to gain benefit. The body is nourished by that which is not halal, then it's not going to gain benefit, it's going to gain detriment. Some people sometimes, when they ask me about music, tell them, look, forget the arguments. Just leave music for a month. Tell me how you feel, what happens to your worship. And those people who don't want to argue, they just want to actually try it on, they leave it for a period of time, and then they say, yes, there's definitely a benefit. So we have to try things. And our mashayikh did not leave these things behind for us as motivation and as wisdom, except that we use it to benefit ourselves. Now the next benefit comes that an individual who begins to eat less, then in their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there'll be humility. They'll no longer be distraction. They'll no longer be oblivious to Allah ta'ala. They'll no longer be heedless. They'll no longer be ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing causes awareness and humility, the way an empty stomach causes it. Through hunger, an individual begins to recognize how much faqr that person has, poverty in front of Allah ta'ala has, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he do? He or she now begins to gain awareness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that look how incapable I am. Now I want to make a side point very quickly. And that side point is for those of you who are listening, especially those of you online, I don't know half of your names. Those of you who are listening online, oh, Hasib, ahlan bikum. Though you should recognize that if you are living at home, if you are living at home with your parents and your mother cooks food or your father cooks food, you should actually eat that food. Because the love that's generated through the heart of a mother and then imbibed in that food through her hands dealing with that food cannot be matched. Thus, that sincerity, the genuine desire to bring goodness, we all know it. We all know it. You know, you see sometimes husbands, they'll go home and they'll eat their mother's food and then, you know, they'll enjoy it in a way that even their wife cooks amazing food. There's certain love there. There's certain love there. Not saying wives don't love the husbands and husbands don't love wives, but every once in a while, you know, there might be a little disagreement. And that disagreement causes, you know, she will still, or he will still, whoever's cooking within the family will still cook the food. But that love is still not there. But the mother usually, especially when you're away from home, you come back to visit, the mother is putting a lot within that food, so you should eat it. So for example, your parents, they come over for iftar. That, don't be, you know, a person of little eating there. Eat a lot. And this is confirmed through the story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik and Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi on one occasion hosted Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi came to the home, and that night Imam Malik told his daughter that you will see a great scholar and a great ascetic. And so she was very happy to know this, so they brought the food out. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi ate, and when she came to take the food back, all the food was gone. She's thinking, this is not a great ascetic, a great scholar. He's eating to his full. Then that night, she puts water outside of his door for him to perform wudu for tahajjud. And now what happens? She goes after fajr to go pick up the water, and the water is still there. He didn't pray tahajjud. He didn't do wudu. So now she goes to her father and says, oh, my father, I trust you, but what is this? He's eating all this food, eating more than what he should eat, and now he's not even waking up to pray. And so Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi approaches his student Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and asks him what had happened. So he said that at night when I went to eat, I saw so much nur and barakah in the food. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced this before. Sometimes you eat at a person's home, or I remember one occasion, and I was at work. I used to work in an Islamic school. There was a brother who was really changing his life in terms of piety. He was already a good brother, but he was really trying to. So he made a habit that, now think of this, anytime he woke up at night, you know, you just wake up sometimes at night, you just check your phone or something. Anytime he woke up, he made a promise to himself, as soon as I wake up, I'll go do wudu, pray 2 rak'ah, then I'll go back to sleep. So as many times as he woke up at night, he would go do wudu, pray. And that's actually the sunnah. The Prophet would go many times back and forth and do wudu. And then that's not easy. We know how difficult that is. And his father was a mujahid. And he began to inculcate the sunnah within his life. And so one day he told us, I'm going to cook food for all of you. So we said, okay, we'll cook food. Yeah, we're not going to argue with that. So he went, he slaughtered the animal himself. He skinned the animal himself. He did everything, he prepared the food. He didn't want his wife to, he just all prepared for you. And that afternoon, subhanAllah, that food was very special. I still remember those of us who were present there. We were eating that food and we couldn't help but just, you know, we're so constantly remembering Allah. It was the result of that food. We're just eating and there's just such an experience. One of my cousins, he had come to the i'tikaf one day in Chicago, and he said that, not my cousin, my uncle, he had come to the i'tikaf one day, and he said that they were eating food. One of the family members had, that household, one of the sons is a mufti. Both sons are hafiz of Quran. One son has ijazah, he's a sheikh. And they're very pious people. The wives are all are scholars as well. He said they were eating, he said he was eating from that food that day, and he was just overcome with emotion, like his tears were just falling, and he was eating that food. Because there's a benefit. When a person eats from the hands of people of piety, there's a great benefit. And who's going to have more love for a child than the mother? So this is why you have a mother who cooks for you, then you definitely eat from that mother. Now, when you go home to your wife, you should also be fair as well, or the wife towards their husbands. If they spend time cooking for you, eat their food as well. But when it's time to snack, then don't eat that. See, what we do is we become very, I'm only going to eat 1/7 of my stomach. Now the wife spent all that day, or the husband spent all that time, or the children cooking that food, and then the person decides to eat very, very little. Now you've broken a heart. You don't want to break hearts. Eat the food they made. Eat a good amount. But don't snack after that. What happens if the person goes to the cabin and starts eating cookies and chips and everything, but they're only eating 1/7 of the food so they're eating all this processed junk. And we wonder, you know, human beings are very emotionless now. We're very mechanical. Because everything we eat is mechanical. And so we're mechanical as a result. But then that food, we only eat 1/7 when it comes to the family's food. So no, we should be very wise in the way we approach food as well. Our mashayikh nowadays say the time to eat very little has left us. Now we focus on tayyib food. So if you're able to eat little, eat little. And if you can't, at least eat halal and tayyib food. It reminds me of something else, that one of my students, she was a high school student of mine. She mentioned something very, very interesting. I'm going to say it, but I want all of you to understand that you might not be able to apply it, so don't push yourself. She said her teacher, she was in the Anima course, her teacher had mentioned to her that if the black stone was initially white, it's a stone from paradise, and it turned black through the constant touching of the hands of believers. So if the black stone was actually white and can turn black from the hands, can turn dark from the hands of the touch of the believers due to their sins and mistakes, what is the state of the heart of the individual who eats food touched by the hands of non-Muslims or who are preparing it, complete ghafla? So we have to be careful. You know, eating out is not always a solution. Younger guys, I'm telling you guys in particular, it's not always a solution. Sometimes it's better just to be hungry. Granted, you're traveling, etc. But you're at home, then you know your mom's cooking food, but your friends are going to go out to eat. Eat the food at home. Go hang out with your friends, but eat the food at home. There'll be much more benefit there. How long have we been going? Okay, so I'll wrap it up for today. So the humility that's brought through hunger, we should be very cognizant of it. Of a man, of a human being who recognizes the hunger, that the benefit of hunger, who doesn't recognize the benefit of hunger, should look at the hadith of the Prophet in the book of Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh. We see that on one occasion, the Prophet was offered the treasures of this world. This is in Tirmidhi, Jami' Tirmidhi. And he said, no, rather than be given all the hungers of the world, I want to eat one day and fast one day. Or eat one day and remain hungry one day. Eat one day and remain hungry one day. And then he said that if I were to eat one day and then be hungry one day, and if I were to hunger, then that hunger will allow me to be patient. And if I were to eat one day, then that allow me to be what? Grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, you know, we don't go only for one extreme, because when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-ta'im al-shakir, kasa'im al-sabir, kasa'im al-sabir," that the one who eats but is very grateful, it's like the one who fasts and is patient in front of Allah Ta'ala. So we should try to gain both of those benefits and rewards. So the Prophet ﷺ, it was better for him that he allowed himself to remain in a state of one day being grateful, one day being patient. One day being grateful, one day being patient, so that he can gain all the benefits of ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It just as was mentioned that the gateways of paradise, they're led through the stomach or the private organs. Because when they're misused, and we see the opposite also appears in hadith. Now the Prophet, if you guarantee what's between your two jaws and your two legs, I will guarantee your paradise. Because those things could either lead a man to over-satiation and subsequent destruction, or lead a person to proper gratitude and patience and open for that person a gate of paradise. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who recognize the various benefits that occur from hunger. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who are constantly striving to gain the benefit from wherever Allah Ta'ala put benefit for us in this world. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik sallam. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب رسولك وحب من يحبك ربنا إن نسألك الجنة الفردوس بغير حساب ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. Oh Allah, verily a group of your servants sit in front of you, listening to the words of your Prophet ﷺ and the Salaf al-Salihin, as preserved through the writings of one of your pious servants. Oh Allah, verily we sit here looking at these wonderful theories and these wonderful statements mentioned about hunger, knowing that for most of our lives we have not even tasted the smallest bit of hunger. Oh Allah, we thank you for saving us from hunger. Oh Allah, we thank you from saving us from poverty. Oh Allah, we thank you from saving us from these feelings which may have led us to question your greatness and drawn us away from your deen. But oh Allah, verily we ask that while you have saved us from hunger and poverty, that you allow us to willingly taste a little bit of hunger on a daily basis and a little bit of restraint on a daily basis, so we can gain the benefits that your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the Salaf al-Salihin rahimahumullah have mentioned in their writings and their experience. Allah, verily our hearts need to be softened. And we have noticed through the writings and teachings of the people who have come before us that hunger is one of those ways. So we ask that you purify our hearts and that you rectify our hearts and you soften our hearts and you make the hearts tender and you make the senses very, the perception very sharp, Ya Allah, through the benefit of hunger, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, provide for us, Ya Allah, but allow us to also choose, Ya Allah, at times to remain hungry so that we can gain these benefits, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, verily, Ya Allah, we have spent so many days and nights filling our stomachs and filling our desires, Ya Allah, to such a way that we forget about you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our tongues after prayer mention your name 100 times, but our hearts are considering and thinking, what are we going to do after we leave the prayer? Our fingers are busy scrolling through our cell phones. Our eyes are busy looking around the masjid at the various things around us. Oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you make our hearts remembering of you, they make our tongues remembering of you, they make our limbs remembering of you, and that you make us your servants who remember you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, verily in your Quran you have mentioned your words, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that if we remember you, that you'll remember us. So oh Allah, verily we're sitting in this gathering remembering you today, Ya Allah. And we ask, Ya Allah, that you make us amongst those who الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, that in every state, whether we are standing, we're sitting, or we're lying down, they remember you. And then when we are involved in your creation, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, we ponder and contemplate over the greatness of your creation. And as a result, we exclaim your purity and exclaim your greatness. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, we come with all these sins, Ya Allah. It's been a week into Ramadan, Ya Allah, yet our sins are still overwhelming us and they're still conquering us at times. We ask, Ya Allah, that we come in front of you with these sins and we say, oh Allah, we cannot fight these sins by ourselves, so help us fight these sins. Allah, we come with these mistakes and sins that we were hoping to shed before we reach the month of Ramadan. And we come in front of you and we say, oh Allah, we have not been able to conquer them yet, Ya Allah, so you help us conquer it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, verily we come in front of you, Ya Allah, and there are habits that we have that we're very embarrassed of. And yet these habits still continue in Ramadan, Ya Allah. We ask that you remove these habits, Ya Allah, and replace them with good habits, Ya Allah. Allah, verily we come in front of you, Ya Allah, having raised our hands for so many years, Ya Allah. And yet we come back in the same state, Ya Allah, whether it's inside Ramadan or outside Ramadan. So we ask you, Ya Allah, the Lord of Ramadan and the Lord of all months, Ya Allah, that you change our state once and for all so we can become true believers and true submitters to you, Ya Allah. Allah, verily we've read stories about the great Sahaba and the pious predecessors, who many were not even Muslim, they worshipped idols, they were attacking your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were trying to harm the deen, and yet, Ya Allah, it was from your mercy they changed their lives in such a way, Ya Allah, that they became the greatest assets to the deen. So, Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you change our hearts as well, and you make it firm upon your deen. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya musarrif al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. That you make our hearts turn and become firmly towards your submission and your love and your devotion, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are sick of lives, Ya Allah, where we spend things, our time, our money, our efforts, looking for pleasure in other than you. And then we end up being disappointed. Oh Allah, we realize that any avenue of pleasure is not going to be present except that if we look for it within you. That verily the pleasure we find within our families, within our spouses and our children, Ya Allah, it only comes through our submission to you. the pleasure we find in the activities that we have, the hobbies, the play that we have in our lives, Ya Allah, it only comes through submission of you, Ya Allah. Even the ilm that we try to seek, Ya Allah, it will only come if we submit to you. So Allah, we ask that you make us true submitters to you, Ya Allah. Allah, we come to you with a mountain of sins, Ya Allah. This mountain of sins has worn us down, Ya Allah. It has caused our backs to break, Ya Allah. We ask that you forgive these sins, Ya Allah. Allah, take all these sins in your great might and majesty. Turn them all into good deeds, Ya Allah. And take them out of our scale of evil and put them to our scale of good, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you do the same for our parents, Ya Allah. We're so fortunate to have such loving parents, Ya Allah. We ask, Ya Allah, that you bless our parents with Islam, Ya Allah. Those of our parents who are not Muslim, Ya Allah, bless them with Islam and the highest level of Iman and Ihsan, Ya Allah. We ask, Ya Allah, those of our family members who are not Muslim, Ya Allah, bless them with the highest level of Iman and Islam and Ihsan, Ya Allah. And those of our family and friends who are Muslim, Ya Allah, we ask that you take them from a state of just being submitters to you to being the true faithful and devotees of you, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, Ya Allah, our parents have tried night after night, day after day to make us better people. They have made mistakes, Ya Allah. We all make mistakes. But many of their mistakes was just to make us better people. So we ask, Ya Allah, that you forgive them for their sins, Ya Allah. We, their children, Ya Allah, we raise our hands in front of you and we say, Ya Allah, we love them and we thank them for what they have done, Ya Allah. And they have made mistakes. We turn to you, the forgiver, Ya Allah, and ask that you forgive them, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive them for anything they have done, Ya Allah. If they have taken loans on interest, Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. If they have had forced us to do something that was wrong, Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. If they have ever said something that displeased you, Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. Allah, if they are alive, Ya Allah, grant them ihsan and let their years in this world be years of submission and love for you, Ya Allah. And if they pass away, Ya Allah, expand for them a window, expand for them their grave, Ya Allah, and open for them a window from paradise, Ya Allah, and raise all of them up, Ya Allah, without any hisab on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, to enter into your firdaus, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you take our children, Ya Allah, and you raise them into children that are people who please you, Ya Allah. Allah, in this day and age, Ya Allah, children are running away from the deen left and right, Ya Allah. Even if they're hafidh or anim, it makes no difference, Ya Allah, they're still turning away, Ya Allah. So we turn to you and we say, we are incapable as parents, Ya Allah. Take our children, Ya Allah, and make them true lovers of you, Ya Allah. And make Allah love them as well, Ya Allah. Whatever profession you put them in, Ya Allah. Whatever position in school they're in, Ya Allah. Grant them success, Ya Allah. And let them use those skills and gifts, Ya Allah, to please you, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, you have blessed some of us with spouses, Ya Allah. Allah, grant those spouses the ability to be the coolness of the eyes of our eyes, Ya Allah. And let us be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Allah, please remove any hatred, any formalities, anything within from our hearts, Ya Allah, such that we can be close to our spouses the way the Prophet ﷺ and the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen are close to one another, Ya Allah. Bless them with al-firdaus, Ya Allah, and reward them for being so patient with us, Ya Allah. Allah, verily our students, Ya Allah, we have not fulfilled the rights of our students, Ya Allah. We ask that you remove any difficulty and harm from our students, Ya Allah. Allah, elevate their status such that, Ya Allah, on the Day of Judgment, they become the wonder and the happiness of their teachers, Ya Allah. Allah, verily we ask, Ya Allah, that the musallis who play in this masjid, Ya Allah, they have given me the opportunity, Ya Allah, to stand in front of them. Allah, I have not fulfilled their rights, Ya Allah. So I ask that you forgive me, Ya Allah, and that you reward them for their patience with me, Ya Allah. Allah, verily they have come and they've sat, they've stood and they've prayed, even though I've made mistake after mistake. So Allah, because they've overlooked my mistakes, Ya Allah, overlooked their mistakes in the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah. Allah, because they were patient and willing to forgive me, Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. And Allah, because they were able to deal with me despite my ignorance and my inability to learn properly, Ya Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, despite their mistakes, Ya Allah, you love them and put them into al-firdaus, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you make this masjid the means of guidance for the entire world, Ya Allah. And all the people in Milwaukee, you unite their hearts, and Muslims around the world, you unite their hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you bless all the Muslims with true Iman and Ihsan, Ya Allah. And we ask that you give the non-Muslims Islam, Iman, and Ihsan as well, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, your Jannah is not small, and you can make it as large as you want it to be, Ya Allah. So Allah, grant everyone Iman and Ihsan and Islam, Ya Allah, and put them into your Jannah, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, we have not been able to live with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Allah, we live 1400 plus years after him, Ya Allah. In so many nights and days we think of him and our hearts miss him, Ya Allah. Allah, we miss him greatly, Ya Allah, and we ask that you send our choicest, highest, most perfect salawat upon him and durood upon him, Ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barakatuh sallam. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, we could not see him in this world, Ya Allah, so let us see him in our dreams, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, we have heard that some of the people in this world are blessed with constant visions of him in their dreams, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, we are not deserving of it. But, oh Allah, you've never given because we're deserving. You've given despite the fact that we're not deserving. So Allah, we're not deserving of it, Ya Allah. But in these nights of Ramadan, Ya Allah, let us, for whatever moments we sleep, Ya Allah, let us see Him. Let us converse with Him. Let us be able to enjoy His company in our dreams, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, when You raise us up on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, let us be able to be with Him, Ya Allah, under Your shade, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us be amongst those who are able to drink from His hands of Kawthar, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, when You allow Him to enter into paradise and give Him His maqam and mahmuda, that You make us His neighbors, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if we're able to be in His presence, Ya Allah, and if we're able to see Your face when You unveil Your face, Ya Allah, then what greater joy will there ever be, Ya Allah? No mansion, no tree, no fruit, nothing in paradise can match that pleasure, Ya Allah. So we turn to You, Ya Allah, and we say we're very, very selfish, but we're going to ask for the best, Ya Allah. So we ask for unlimited views of You, Ya Allah, unlimited time with Your Prophet, Ya Allah, and Firdaus da ani hisab, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, before we lower our hands, Ya Allah, we ask that any Muslims who are suffering across the world, Ya Allah, remove their difficulty, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, remove, if any Muslims anywhere in the world, Ya Allah, our community or outside our community, if they're sick, Ya Allah, cure them, Ya Allah. If they passed away, Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. If they're having financial trouble, Ya Allah, give them abundant wealth, they can give abundance of sadaqah and zakah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if they are people who are having broken hearts between their family members or others in their lives, Ya Allah, mend their hearts, Ya Allah, and fix those relationships, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, please, Ya Allah, verily the time is short and the list is long, so whatever you wish for us to benefit from, grant us, Ya Allah. Whatever Your Messenger ask for, sought protection from, Ya Allah, grant that for us as well. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Alhamdulillah.